Welcome to Talkin' Docs, the monthly show where we dive into the world of documentaries and review them for your listening pleasure. Why documentaries, you may ask? Well, documentaries have the power to inform, educate, and entertain us in ways that few other mediums can. They allow us to delve deep into a subject, explore different perspectives, and challenge our assumptions. But with so many documentaries out there, it can be overwhelming to decide what to watch. That's where we come in. On Talkin' Docs, we'll cover a wide range of topics, from politics and social issues to art, science, and nature. So whether you're a seasoned documentary buff or just dipping your toe into the genre, Talkin' Docs is the perfect place to discover new films, expand your horizons, and join the conversation about the world around us.
Hi, welcome to Talkin' Docs. My name is Jennifer Smith. I'm here with my wonderful co-hosts, Logan Croslin and Cowboy Roger. How are you boys tonight?
Doing well. Might not be doing well by the end of this one, but...
Well, we're here.
definitely doing well. Glad to see both of you and talk to you, so I'm glad to be here.
Same, Jenny.
Good
to see you. I'm doing great. Already ate. Made sure I ate before this show. I'm really looking forward
Always
to
good.
The topic tonight. But yeah, great to see you both.
We might kill your appetite. Spoiler alert. if you're listening to this while you eat, maybe rethink that decision. And the reason for that is that we are starting out season three, right? Season three of our podcast with a new topic, as we do, and we have chosen serial killers documentaries as our season three topic. How are you guys feeling about that?
It's quite interesting. It's a little heavier than animal documentaries, but it's interesting. And you know, there's a ton of content out there on this, so I think that there's like a huge appetite in the world for serial killer content.
I see what you did there.
Oh boy, I didn't do that on purpose.
No.
I think the listeners, hopefully the listeners will appreciate this, and we'll get through it. You know, we'll learn something, and it just is what it is.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking forward to it for sure. I didn't think it was going to be a happy topic by any stretch, I guess I'll say, but definitely started with a tough one, a hard one to kind of get through. So, but we'll talk about it. We were going to watch the documentary and the series, so we'll talk about both tonight.
Yes, so we have chosen to start off with a bang, you guys. It does not get much more gruesome than Jeffrey Dahmer. And we are watching the Netflix documentary. It's called Conversations with a Killer, the Jeffrey Dahmer Tapes. So these are mostly in his own words and the people that had to deal with him and after he confessed to everything. So it is a three-part documentary, pretty watchable. I think they're about an hour long each.
Yeah.
So pretty bingeable. But the subject matter is very intense. And I've listened to a ton of podcasts about Jeffrey Dahmer. I watched this documentary before we decided to do this. And I watched Dahmer Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story that is also on Netflix and that we also watched for the show. So this is what we're doing with our serial killers this season. And we're going to add the fictional version of those to go along with the sort of true crime story documentaries, which is exciting. So we'll get to see portrayals of the stuff that we learn about in the documentaries.
Absolutely.
Yep.
It was interesting. I mean, it's a bit more of a commitment, like especially this one for the listeners. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you know, a good, I think, 15 hours or so of between the episodes of the documentary and the series. But
yes.
I mean, it really does allow you to dive in and kind of compare and contrast. And I was telling you guys beforehand, the thing that struck me about this one was kind of watching them together was really how impressive that performance was by Evan Peters. Like he really became Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, I mean, he was him. Mannerisms, accent,
the voice, everything. Yeah, it was. Yeah, hearing him on the tapes and then watching Evan Peters, it was uncanny, really. Hard to separate the two, honestly. But an amazing performance, I thought, in the series, which I thought before. I don't know what was going on with me previously, because I've seen the Dahmer series before, but it did not hit me as hard as it hit me this time. And maybe I just was watching it more critically because I knew I'd be talking about it or something like that. But I got to tell y'all, the emotional, visceral reactions are real when it comes to this killer in particular. Do y'all find that to be the case too? Is it worse? Is he the worst that you could think of?
He did the worst.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But I find him to be a little more interesting than some other serial killers in that there's not a backstory of just like horrible abuse as a child or whatever, right? That turned him the way he is. And he was born this way with just this compulsion. And like he recognizes that and says, like, I want to find out why I am the way I am. And like, certainly obviously not likable, right? Because of what he did.
Right.
But you know, there's other serial killers, like Richard Ramirez as an example, if you're familiar with him, who was, you know, wanted to be on TV and was a hardcore Satanist and like really got off on like hurting people, right?
And being famous for it.
Yeah. And with Dahmer, like he killed the first person, right? And then he didn't kill again for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And it was like he knew he had this compulsion and he tried to not do it, I think.
He did try.
And ultimately gave into it and was unsuccessful. And I mean, I think we've all kind of been there, right? Like he was a drinker, right? And like drinking makes you lose your inhibitions. Mm-hmm. And with Jeffrey Dahmer, that is like a real catastrophic thing to have happen, because whatever's in his mind that's stopping him from acting on this compulsion, a few Budweisers and it's gone. And then he's in that cycle. So I just found it to be a really, like, he's like, I mean, the thing, like, he strikes me more as like truly being ill.
Right.
Very, very ill versus, you know, and it's tough to say he's not a horrible person, but versus an intentionally horrible person.
Right.
However
I know what
you
mean.
Say that.
Definitely.
Which like, and then I think like that causes a visceral reaction. That you're feeling that way watching this thing, and you're like, I want to fucking hate this guy. Like, I really should hate this person. And there's like a little piece that's like, I didn't like, you know, obviously, right? It's you feel awful for the victims, and that's who you really feel awful for, and their families.
Right.
But there's a little piece of like, this guy can't control this. Like, this is like, he just can't control it. So.
Yeah. It's, I don't want to say innocence, that's the wrong word, but there's just like that little thing that you're talking about. Like, he really just wanted somebody to be with him and stay with him and want to stay with him and, you know, be a part of his life and be his friend, be his lover, whatever you know, he wanted to be. And he didn't have the abuse kind of childhood trauma, but his parents argued and they were both crazy and had their own problems and stuff like that. So I do think he had a little bit, maybe not as traumatic as some of the other guys that we may talk about in the future, but I do think he did have his own traumas. And I think his dad, says something in the series about he had a surgery when he was little and he never really came back from that. And like was the same kind of after that, he was kind of a little happier and, you know, just stuff like that before that happened. So I don't know how real or whatever that is, but I do know that that was mentioned. But yeah, I do think he has his traumas, but like you said, he doesn't have like the abuse that a lot of these guys kind of have that kind of leads them to be these this way. But yeah, he strikes me as kind of more of an ill kind of certain person than it is, you know, truly evil, I guess is the best way to put it. But yeah, you can't put away what he did, but I definitely think there's like a, there's a part of it, just whatever that it factor is, that like he kind of just couldn't help it at the same time. But and that's terrible to say, but
yeah, and I think you make like a good point about the, like, he has abandonment issues.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's 100% what I was going to say. Yeah.
And,
abandonment issues.
You know, and his parents got divorced, right? Like, so that's like, I think, like,
they
a
left
common,
him.
She, like, a, it is like a common thing. Him. But the way he deals with that is ridiculously over the top, sick and twisted, right? To lobotomize people so that they can't leave.
Well, you add his own, you know, homosexuality, also dealing with that, and his drinking is a huge part of this too. The drinking plays a major role in how he gets victims and how he tries to subdue them and how he gets to that state where he can override that thing that makes him not do this, right? That's the thing that makes him slip over is the drinking, which is so interesting. But his, yeah, that childhood injury, and then I think that neglect from his parents, the abandonment at a critical age, and then that first murder he just picked up a random hitchhiker for, and, you know, lures him back with, you know, drugs and alcohol and stuff. And which is his number one way that he gets all these people back. You know, he will offer them drugs and alcohol or money or whatever, whatever, to get these guys back to his place. So, and then that first murder was so brutal. He hit him with a barbell from like a weight bench and, you know, destroyed his body. So that was... And then waiting 9 years after that first kill is mostly due to his dad's influence that we see in the series. We see the dad giving him numerous opportunities to get his life together, right? He goes and gets him enrolled into Ohio State. He flunks out of that. He goes and puts him in the Army, and then he gets thrown out of the Army for trying to drug dudes and have sex with them. And then he packs him up to live with the grandma and take care of grandma, to have a job and help her upkeep of the house and whatnot. So his dad just keeps giving him all these opportunities, and he just keeps failing at all of them. And by the time he's at his grandma's house, that's when he starts bringing dudes back from the gay clubs and murdering them in her house and dismembering their bodies.
So the one thing, like, and I feel awful for his father, right? I mean,
I do too. Yeah.
And I kind of get it, but like, and I mean, I can't imagine, right? You never would think that your kid would like would be this, but the father did ignore like one of the the giant warning signs for serial killer. Is like hurting animals,
right?
And not only did they like he hurt the animals, and but like the father kind of encouraged it, like, oh, you got some more roadkill there, Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, kind I think
taught
he's
him
just
how to operate
just
on.
Trying
yeah,
to connect, find some way to
right.
connect with his kid,
because he was
like
a weird little kid. Yeah, gets him interested in taxidermy, which really just gives Jeff an excuse to like for the reasons for all the smells in his grandma's house, you know, when he's getting rid of bodies in there. And then he had so many times where he got in trouble. You know, he got in trouble in the army. He got arrested for what? Didn't he pull his dick out at a circus or a fair or some shit like
fair,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, all those little red flags too. Got accused of, or went to jail, didn't he, for molesting that little boy?
Yeah.
And that was how long? Like a year or more?
It was about a year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, well, a year work release or something like that. So.
Yeah.
This whole situation was not a great look for the Milwaukee Police Department.
Absolutely not.
I mean, I don't know if you both remember, like, I know Logan, you know.
I was not.
Jenny,
I was barely alive.
I don't know if you remember this happening, Jenny.
Absolutely not.
I remember. I think it was like 91, right? So I do. It was like a huge national story. And it was just.
It lasted for days and days. Yeah.
What? And then that video of the cops with the taking the vat out of the apartment. Like, that was like everywhere.
Wild.
But when you dive into the details, like, I mean, it is awful. Like, it was like, there was a part of it, right, was like the like LGBTQ culture, like, was not accepted as much back then.
They
right?
was the underground.
And so, like, obviously, the cops, like, especially with the real bad one, obviously, was like the kid.
Right.
14-year-old kid or 13-year-old kid that he lobotomized that got away.
Right.
And then the cops gave him back to him.
Yep.
And he killed him.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, it's a lover's quarrel. And he had these neighbors.
These
poor people who lived in the building with him. The building must have smelled so bad. And they called, like, they played some actual calls.
Right.
You got to do something about this guy. And they're like, we're not going to do anything.
Over and over again. That one.
But like, how many people, it was a number of people died, not just that kid, but that incident, a number of people died.
Yes.
And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty disappointing. And that.
Well, in regards to the documentary and the tapes, do we give Jeff any credit for admitting everything? Because, I mean, he could have, I'm not going to say he could have denied it or whatever, but he could have not given any details. He could have just kept quiet, never had any closure for any families. Do we give him any credit for owning up to everything and naming names that he could name of the victims? And
it's tough to use the like credit.
I don't mean credit. I just mean, like, you know, does that mean anything to you? Does that help? Like,
I mean, unless you're just a real religious person and it's like about honesty and stuff like that, like, it doesn't make him look better because, I mean, he's just admitting that he like severed these people and fucking, you know, tried to make them zombies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, unless you're like real into the whole religious, like, oh, he's owning up to his stuff before he goes to see the Lord or whatever.
Well, I think that's doing, right?
Yeah,
he became a born again Christian in prison.
I'm just saying, if that's not like a value system that you have, it's not gonna. It doesn't really mean.
It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what I would say is, like, given his situation and given what he did. From the time he got caught, and I mean, I don't think he could have, like, I mean, I guess he handled that as well as could possibly be handled, right? He was, by being honest, it at least gives the families closure. It felt like when he was saying in the interviews, you know, that, like, he legitimately wanted to find out why he was the way he was.
Yeah.
Right.
He asked to get put back into general population. He said, I don't really give a shit if I die. I mean, I can't just sit here by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it seemed like
I don't blame him for that.
Accepted his fate. So I think, like, from that time, he handled it as I suppose as well as you could have.
Is there any value in the criminal justice side or the criminology side, can we learn anything from a serial killer like Jeffrey Dahmer? Like, is his information valuable to us in that way, in learning about criminals and how they operate? And, you know,
well, I think it is valuable in that. I mean, he's a unique case, but he's not
right.
His mind is not that unique of a mind,
right?
Where the more insight that we can get into the mind of someone who's going to do this stuff, the more chance we have to stop it before it gets,
hopefully,
like, see the warning signs.
I agree. Yeah, it gives you at least some kind of warning sign that maybe another person that may do something to this effect, you can kind of catch it earlier than you did with him, obviously. But yeah, I mean, it's just a complete failure by them with you know, like the police system. I mean, in Milwaukee, just, you know, letting the kid go back into the apartment is the biggest, you know, the biggest fuck up of them all, I think. But at the end, at least they believed the other guy and actually went back to the apartment and, you know, investigated and stuff. But yeah,
he was still pretty lucid. The kid was so zonked out. He couldn't even like talk. Right. No, that other guy saved how many lives? Because I went and watched some interviews with him too, and like, he had been, I think he had some kind of like an athletic background, and he like kind of knew right away that like he knew right away that it was fucked.
Yeah.
And so he didn't drink the whole drink, so he it wasn't completely incapacitated, and he, you know, the stuff he describes is fucked, where he puts on The Exorcist 3 and goes into like this trance like state. Mm-hmm. But him getting away saved countless people, right? Which was a good thing. But I cannot imagine being in that situation. Like, I don't know. I'm not gonna say speak for everybody and say we've all gone home with strangers or hung out with strangers, however you look at that, right? But I think, like, at least in my life, there have been a number of times when I've been out having a good time, and you make friends with people and say, "Oh, you wanna come back and hang out?" Yeah, screw it. Yeah, of course, right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm not like y'all were strangers at one point and hung out with each other, so, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We all met on the internet.
Yeah.
And like at what point, especially if you're like half in the bag and they're like drugged, like at what point are you like when that hits you? I can't imagine like how that feels to go from, it's like having a good time to, oh my God.
I think that guy was kind of sketchy as soon as he walked into the apartment. He got the smell, obviously, that is, you know, talked about all the whole time. I think even when he, in the series, of course, I don't know if this is how it really happened in real life, but I think he even says when he gives him the drink, he's like, "What's that shit floating at the top?" or something like that. And, you know, Jeffrey just says, "Oh, it's foam. Don't worry about it." You know, it's obviously the Halcyon or whatever kind of drug he was using to, you know, kind of incapacitate him for enough time to do whatever he was going to do. I think he, like, as soon as he got into the apartment, he was like, something ain't right about this. And then it just kept getting weirder and stranger and more aggressive and all that kind of stuff. So, obviously super happy he got away, because he probably saved, you know, no telling how much longer he would have gone on doing this. If that guy hadn't gotten away and got to the cops.
Well, look, he was getting away with it, right? Straight up. He was straight up just doing what a lot of serial killers do, which was taking victims from places where nobody cares if they're gone, right? Yeah. So he's in the gay clubs and finding these young men, luring them back and killing them, just, you know, eating. And then when, this is what we're going to talk about as well, eating some of them, many different body parts that he ate. Would you guys eat somebody if you had to?
Like in a live situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's very different.
It's very different.
I wouldn't be excited about it, but mm-hmm. I would think that like, I think we have within us like this will to live and mm-hmm. that we would do what we had. I think when in that dire of a situation, when it comes down to it, I would, you know, probably do what I would have had to do to live.
You think so? What about you, Logan?
I don't know. I'd probably just jump off a cliff or something at that point. If it
came to
that.
I was going to say, I don't know if I want to live that much.
Or let the person kill me and eat me or whatever, if that's what they want
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've never been in that situation. Hope to never be in that situation. So yeah. Hope I don't ever have to.
But like I like you don't like look at the people from alive and say,
oh yeah,
you know I can't. But that's fucked up.
No. I mean,
those people were already dead. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
some of them gave their permission as well.
And there was no joy in it or anything.
No, it was all sorrow, but they had to do it. And hopefully we can continue this discussion when we have our disasters season, because that will definitely be on the list.
Yeah.
It'll be like a callback.
Yeah.
But what Dahmer was doing, this yes. was not...
No.
Yes, not to live.
This was not for survival, no.
It was for... I mean, I don't know how much he actually addressed the cannibalism in the tapes.
So. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that is what they, I'm not going to say they glossed over it, because they mm-hmm. didn't talk about it, mm-hmm. but he didn't really dive into it,
no.
right? Like as much as the compulsion and mm-hmm. yada yada. But I think, like, it is in his sick, twisted mind a way yep. that these people could stay with him
live
forever.
With him, yeah.
Yep, I think so, too.
In the series, him cooking the heart or whatever it was, like a steak, was
that was
a hard one to get through, for sure. And it's right yeah. at the end of an episode, for sure.
It's all his, he's got the taxidermy background.
Yes, right? So he knows how to dress.
Like this toxic mix of things coming together to
mm-hmm.
create the, you know, probably the single most disgusting serial killer in American history. Him or Ed Gein.
It's got to be up there. I mean, Ed was declared insane, right? So,
yeah. And I mean, he was convicted, but I mean, Dahmer was insane. I mean, I think
it was insanity, honestly?
Well, however you describe, whatever you would describe as insanity is, I don't think that he had a whole lot of control over his actions, which is, I think, the definition of insanity, right? Like, he was just gone in the head.
But he tried to cover up his crimes. So to me, that's a major thing. If you're taking major steps, you're altering your life in major ways to cover up your crime.
And... Oh, I don't think he was insane by the letter of the law. That's
okay.
I just think whatever the word is, he was effed. He was effed
right.
in the head.
Right.
Completely effed in the head. Right. But he definitely
He was effed. Jeffrey Dahmer was effed in the head.
I think Cowboy we can definitely says. Say that for fact.
Yeah.
100%.
But I know the definition, yeah. like, for legal yeah. purposes is more challenging to prove out, right? Like, it basically, mm-hmm. like, do I think he belonged in a hospital instead of prison? No.
That's what I was going to ask next.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
No. I mean, he even said
like they tried to get him to do the, I mean, in the series again, I don't know. I don't know the whole accuracy of the two things against each other.
It was pretty accurate.
Yeah. But I'm just saying in the series, he doesn't even want to do the insanity plea. Like his dad and his lawyer are trying to do that.
Right.
So
right.
He can get some help and get some
he
you know,
said,
therapy.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah. He said, I'm not crazy, you know, so. I mean, I don't know how much you want to take into that, but he himself said that, so But I think Jenny has a point. Like, he was obviously trying to cover it up. Whether he thought he could get away with it forever was maybe a different story. But
and the I mean, this was not, you know, like temporary insanity is like, I don't want to say something that could actually happen, but I watch something, somebody do something like really bad to someone or something that I care about, and I just fucking snap and I kill that person. Like, that is temporary insanity. It's not, I'm very calculated. I bring the drugs to the club. I mean, he's got the whole thing planned out, right?
That's he does plan it out.
Yeah. I mean, that is premeditated murder.
For sure. Yeah. In regards to the series, like I said, I thought Evan Peters was just chilling. Like, I got like maybe way too into that. Like, cause it was such an intimate series. I thought like they did the scenes with the victims were so hard to watch, but they had this like real reverence to them. I thought like showing each victim and not making Jeffrey the only person in the series, because you easily could have put everything from his point of view, but they mix it up and they put his dad's point of view in there. Some his mom's, and his neighbors. So that was another fascinating part to me in regard to the series, was all of the stories from the neighbors, their stories of their interactions with him. And like we talked about, them reporting him repeatedly for the smells coming from his apartment, and how nobody listened to them. Like, nobody cared, because they were in a terrible neighborhood, and you know, they were minorities for the most part, so the cops could care less, and the killing just continued.
And the series was, I think, extraordinarily well done.
I thought so too.
All the actors were great.
Well, and especially with this content, with what he did, like the specifics with the eating and stuff, like there could have been a lot of kind of just gratuitous you know, serial killer porn type of stuff, you know, and they didn't focus on that. I mean, it was there, and they showed, I think, what they had to show, but I think it really did focus on his psyche and then how what he did impacted everybody else around him, right? Whether it be the victims, the neighbors, like you said, Jenny, his parents, like that was the focus. And I mean, that kid can act. I mean, I watched American Horror Story, but he was like Rubber Man on the first one, and he was so good. And now, I mean,
it was so good.
Like, he transformed into him. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, even in a less serious role, he was really good as Quicksilver in the newer X-Men movie. So he was really good at that. Just really extraordinary actor. The dad was really good. I really enjoyed him.
The dad was excellent.
I can't think of the actor's name, but he was very
Richard
good as
Jenkins.
Well.
Yeah. Okay. I hate to say this, but I always think of him as the fucking dad from Step Brothers.
Oh yeah,
that's him.
And so it took a little bit, right?
I got it. But yeah, he was really good.
Jeffrey Dale
but yeah, he was really good. The neighbor lady was really good. Cassandra, I think, was the name of the character. But yeah, she was really good. But yeah, I think they casted really well. I think, like Jenny said, they told the stories of the victims as well. The one that particularly just devastated me, and just I couldn't sleep the night I watched it either, which is a whole other problem that I had. I watched a lot of these like before I went to bed. Terrible idea. Don't do that.
I did the same thing, Logan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
You only time Not a I'm good free. Idea.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's kind of the same reason I kind of did it then too. But maybe don't watch it as close to bed. Maybe watch it a little bit before you actually go to sleep, because it's not really easy to sleep after seeing some of that. But the one that particularly devastated me was the deaf guy, Tony Hughes, I believe.
Yes.
Was. They really go into his backstory, kind of talk about all that he had been through. They kind of get into his friend group. They really dive into his family dynamic that he has. And even like the relationship, and I know it's short, but they hang out multiple times, I think, throughout that episode. So I almost felt like he was actually like I don't know the right words, but it almost felt like he was actually falling for this guy. It wasn't just going to be another situation where, you know, he was going to kill him and do what he does to the body afterwards or whatever. But it seemed like he might actually be like falling for this guy, and this might be the one that like saves him, quote unquote. But that one, when he finally kills him and he's like lying on the bed face down, just blood everywhere. That one really got to brutal. Me for sure.
Absolutely brutal. Agreed. Yeah.
I mean, all of them were terrible, but that one was particularly like
that one
like ended the night on a real sour note for me.
I was trying to, I had another question. At the end, Jeffrey gets baptized in jail, and he is put in general population, right? And as portrayed in the series, he's in a room with a weight bench, and he gets murdered by another inmate with a barbell. Is that right? Or did he get shivved?
No. He got beat to death.
He got beat to death.
And I think it was supposed to be, I think, we're not on video, but it's supposed to be a like a 2 or 3 foot long pipe.
Like a pipe.
Essentially. Okay. Yeah, it was him, and I believe the guy killed two people. It was Dahmer and another person.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he killed the other guy.
And
I think he may have shivved him.
Yeah.
Okay. In the series, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. And that guy was the guy who killed him was a psychotic too. He said God told him to do it. And it was only a matter of time once Jeffrey was in general population that something was going to happen.
People, they just can't abide cannibal, you know? They're just there's a cannibal to live around
culture them. Thing about like you can get some clout by right. something like exactly. that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and no, obviously, right? Like the prison system's notorious for not doing a great job of protecting, you know, high profile inmates. But I had read about it. They said he didn't even fight back. That he just accepted it. He just accepted it, and
that's
he
kind of
knew
too.
It was coming.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole time during the like trial and all that, he was basically saying he didn't want to be around anymore. You know, if he was going to be stuck by himself, he'd rather just get the death penalty or whatever. So, I mean, that's in a sick and twisted kind of way. It's what he wanted.
Is a little bit. Do we think he should have gotten a life sentence, a lethal injection? Should that have been the way to go, or is this?
I think he
justice
would have.
Is this justice?
A lot of people have different thoughts on it. Like, you know, oh no, he needs to rot and think about what he did for the rest of his life or his natural life or whatever. But you know, if he was in a state where I think it was a thing, I think he definitely would have. So, but he just happened to live in a state where it wouldn't in the law. So,
For him, right? Like the death penalty would have been an easy way out for him, right? I'm not like a big death penalty person. I don't want to get political on the show, but generally speaking, I don't really believe in it. It's, you know, does one murder, does an additional murder make up for the other murders, or is it now we just have more murders, right? And like for him, and I mean Logan said it, the worst punishment for him would have been to sit and have to live a full life, and that didn't happen. I think a lot of people would say getting beat to death like that is he got what he deserved.
Right? A lot of people would say that.
That's the death he deserved.
Yeah, you know, that's the justice.
That kind of person, but it's I think there's I can understand why folks would say that.
For sure.
What so I was thinking a lot about Jeffrey's grandma and all the time that he lived with her and all the weird things that he would do when he lived there. And this poor old lady just let him just do it, you know? And what would you do? What would you do? I mean, if somebody was acting like this in your house, I mean, it's like somebody you're related to, it's your blood, and they're being a fucking weirdo. And it's like, what do you do? What could any of these people have done for Jeffrey?
I mean, they could have got, I mean, I don't know. Like you only have so many options, right?
Right.
Like the more the you try to forcibly commit somebody, right? But there are. I mean, he's an adult, right? There
right.
Are laws.
He's not.
And they can't keep him there forever.
Right. And if he's not breaking any laws, I mean, he went to jail. He was arrested for molestation or whatever. So you got to think, like, if that's your person, if that's your family. Like, do we do some therapy? Do we, what do we do here?
I mean, if he's already, like, if it's like, he's already kind of actively doing this stuff, like, I think it, like, it's natural to think the best of the people we love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
there, if there are signs there, maybe, you know, you're also the person who's closest to this guy. Maybe do a little detective work yourself and then.
Yeah.
And then get him arrested for the, you know, and to save some lives. But I mean, that's a lot easier said than done. But if you're just thinking like, how can you, like, I think he was kind of beyond being helped, really. Like what he really, I suppose what he needed to do was never drink and maybe do the born again Christian thing, you know, before prison.
Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? Could that have done anything? And Grandma kept trying to get him into church, and he wasn't having that. So,
I mean, she's an older woman too. Like,
right?
That's I mean, it's if I don't know much about his grandma, but if the way they portrayed her is accurate, as like this 80-something-year-old, just kind of sweet lady.
Yeah, I mean, perfect grandma.
Like, what exactly? What can she really? She did, I think, what she could do. Like, it's a tough thing.
Yeah,
she could kick him out, you know. But
kick him out.
That might have made it worse. He would have felt even more abandoned than he already had been throughout the rest of his life. Right. So, I mean, with family, you want to think the best of. I mean, even if they do things constantly that just make them not believe in the fact.
Where's the line at? Like, see him decapitate somebody, you know, before.
If that state, if she goes down in the basement while all the shit's going on, like, what's to say he doesn't, like, in his alcoholic rage, like, stab her and kill her too? Mm-hmm. I mean,
he was an asshole to her.
He was.
I'm just saying, like, what's to say she doesn't get killed? Maybe she's afraid that if she goes down there and sees whatever the fuck's going on, she obviously doesn't.
Turn a blind eye then, huh?
Yeah, yes. I mean, that's
wrong. She
did
try to help that kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? The one that.
She does save the one kid.
She does, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she should have done something, I guess, but I can't blame her either at the same time because what do you do? I mean, you either you have to see it because you have to say, hey, my grandson's
this
killing
is happening.
People. He's right. Dismembering them in my basement. Come get him, put him in prison. Mm-hmm. I mean, but at the same time, they're family. You don't want to think the worst.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, something is going on, but you don't want to think the worst. You don't want to think he's doing that to humans. You want to think that this is his, like, taxidermy thing that he's been doing his whole childhood and whatever, but... I think you obviously know that more stuff's going on, but you want to think the best of your family member that is living with you. But there's no good scenario because you know, like I said, if she does go down there, catches him in the act, who's to say she's alive at the end of that?
Yep. Man, that's a tough spot for old grandma.
Anybody, really. My mom, dad.
After, yeah, the dad especially, too. But he kept fucking leaving. So I was a little bit like, fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the main issue for the abandonment problems anyway. Because he kept fucking leaving throughout Jeff's childhood.
I think that was the real trigger point for him, too. In the whole thing, like that period, like you said, where he was a teenager, graduated high school, and his mom and his dad both just disappear, and he's living by himself, like, he just spirals and goes into, like, a real bad... I mean, I think that's really the, you know, catalyst for everything.
I think that period, too.
But, yeah.
All right. Any other final thoughts? I think I got through most of my questions and thoughts. The good ones, anyway. The rest is trash. Because, look, I felt horrible the whole time I was watching all of this. So, it's not for the faint of heart. I'm telling you, it's deep stuff. Especially the series, very emotional.
Watch in the afternoon.
It's a big departure for the, you know, if you're somebody who's followed along with us and watches all the documentaries. This is a big departure from March of the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we totally flipped.
It's really good. You just have to, you know, just realize. I mean, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody knows who Jeffrey Dahmer is. Like, it's not going to be like a fluffy watch. It's ugly.
I think the thing I learned most about Yeah, definitely, for sure. I think the thing I learned most about myself during this one was I can handle, like, the documentary talking about the stuff, but, like, actually seeing it in action and, like, it happening right in front of me, whether it's identical to what happened or whatever, just whatever you want to say, I think seeing it made it, like, so much worse than anything I could have imagined. Because, like, the documentary is fine. By the time I got to that, it was easy breezy. Like, I mean, it's hard to listen to and hard to hear the details of it all. But seeing it happen was just so much worse than I could have ever imagined. And, I struggled to sleep a couple of nights when I watched it. So, it is definitely not for the faint of heart, for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about the whole just witnessing it and then the portrayal being so good.
Yeah.
That, and again, I'm not praising anybody. I'm not praising Jeffrey Dahmer or anything like that. I just want to make that clear because it was a bit of a controversy when that show came out, was all the praise, Jeffrey Dahmer this, Jeffrey Dahmer that, and people didn't like that.
Was it like a positive portrayal?
Right, yeah. And I'm like, that means he did his job really well. Because, you know, he's indistinguishable from Jeffrey Dahmer in many ways in that show. So it was definitely worth a watch if you can stomach it. All right, so we will be having an episode next month. We don't have a topic for that yet, so we will decide. And before we go, Logan, what do you have to plug?
Here on the North-South Connection, I have Linking Up Luchas. You're on that with me, Jenny. You and Jake are a team, and Scott Shiflett and Sean Kidd are a team. We're building towards the end of the season. We've got one more episode to record before we get to our season finale, so definitely getting to the big show there at the end of the season. Looking forward to talking about that one with all you guys and watching that along with all of you guys. So definitely check that out. And then I'm pretty much the permanent guest host on Ruthlessly Aggressive at this point. So we're just about to talk Vengeance 03, which is one of the best B-show pay-per-views of all time for a lot of people. So definitely looking forward to checking that one out.
What about you, Roger?
I am a one-trick pony because it's not football season. So
only
talking docs. We finished up this week in the NFL after the Super Bowl. We will be back before next season, but just this.
All righty. As for me, I'm right here on the North-South Connection every Wednesday, mostly, unless I don't have a show. And you can hear me on GC Dub, a game-changing podcast with my friend Matt. And Exposition, an X-Men podcast co-hosted by Tim Capel and frequented by Keith Langston on that show, where we talk about X-Men. And a couple other things I got coming up that's new. So if you want to follow me across all socials, you can find out about all of that. And thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.